Welcome to Women Worth Knowing, the radio program and podcast hosted by Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn.
There are so many Christian women with fascinating stories, whether missionaries, musicians, reformers, authors, or wives and mothers. Your examples are inspirational to us all. And we have been inspired, I would say, by our guest, Megan. Cheryl brought her in because they actually know each other. And those are the best kind of interviews.
Aren't they?
You need to go back and listen to the first two episodes, because in the second one, Cheryl had us all crying. So that was good.
I didn't. Megan had us. But I started crying because I loved what I was hearing. You know, so far what we have is Megan is this young woman who's born in Colorado. Her mom gets saved. They end up at this church. She has a very inspirational youth pastor and his wife who just instill in her a passion for Jesus Christ and a passion for the mission field. She goes to Hungary to go to Bible college. She thinks she's going to be there for a year. She stays for five. It's where she meets her husband. She doesn't even have that on the roster for life, but God does. They go from there. They have these desires to be on the mission field. They go back to Colorado to kind of establish married life. And then they go back to serve in Hungary. It's the mission field, but it's not quite the mission field.
Right.
Because you are surrounded by a lot of Americans and you kind of know the routine. And, you know, I have my friends Rose and Doug who served for years in Hungary. And learned very little Hungarian.
Yes.
Because it's not necessary.
Right.
Because you're so insulated on that Bible college. And yet, as you were saying, that Sean was facilitating Vision for Life, which is an incredible ministry where young kids from anywhere can come over and see what it's like to serve in a different country, to kind of get culturally
acclimated.
Yes, yeah. Acclimated. Exactly. So now you're there and you've had two children. I want to go to this just a second.
Yeah.
Because you chose to have them in a Hungarian hospital.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm so thankful for all the other missionary women at the Bible College who also had their babies out there. So it was like, okay, they did it. I can do it.
Okay. But I want to bring up something which is really interesting. Her mother and her mother-in-law are both nurses.
Yeah.
So I want to know what they were thinking.
Yeah.
Come home.
Yeah. Yeah. And my mom, I think they were a little shocked by the decision. But, you know, I assured them, like, this other woman, the doctor's so great, and the other women had given birth there, too. And my mom was an OBGYN nurse, so I got all the things from her, you know, making sure and all of that. So it was fine. It was an experience. I didn't have another experience to go off of, you know. But it was culturally different. But God really used giving birth to my son there to really ignite that heart that would eventually lead us to Ethiopia. So, I'd given birth to Jude there, and I remember seeing him in the little nursery in Hungary with all the other babies. And, I had always wanted to adopt, and, that was, like, on my heart, and Sean's too. And, but then after I had Jude, and I just kind of saw him in the nursery with all these other little babies, it was like, I just was like, well, do they have good homes? Do they have godly mom and dads that are going to love them and give them, you know, all that they need? And so it was really through that experience that I felt like, God kind of ignited that heart that we would then go to Ethiopia. Yeah.
So how did you end up in Ethiopia?
Yeah. So we were, serving at the Bible College again. It was really so great to just, again, be involved in something that had impacted our lives. And I think that time in the Bible College, I think of those verses in 1 Thessalonians, I think it's chapter 2, when Paul talks about, like, we didn't just impart the gospel to you, but our whole lives.
Yes.
And that, if I could sum up my time at the Bible College, that's what it was. Like, they, yeah, from being a student and all the things, like I learned so much through the people there, through all the missionary families, pastors, family, staff. I learned so much by them that it was such a blessing to be a part of it. And so we were like really content at the Bible College. Like I had Jude, and then I was pregnant with Sonia at the time when Sean was like, I want to go out to Ethiopia and I want to go visit Argo and Rachel. He's like, maybe we could bring some teams from the Bible College out there. Like,
now, these were, if you're just listening to this podcast, this was a couple that had also been at Bible College and had met and married there and went out. But Sean had this instinctive thing about getting to Africa and Ethiopia was...
But what is happening in Ethiopia at this point?
Okay, so they had, in 2010, they started the orphanage, children's home. They kind of didn't know what they were going to do at the time when they first moved there. But then 2010, it became clear when they got their first child. Her name was Lontu. She had some health concerns, and her family were farmers in the village, and they couldn't take care of her. So they asked Argo and Rachel, like, could you take care of our daughter and give her all that she needs? And they were like, yes. So they took her in. And so that was kind of the first child, and that led to many others. And so after they got more kids and more kids, they started sending out newsletters and updates, you know, and we were on their update list. And so, you know, I had Jude, and I was like reading all these stories about these kids, and one little girl was found in a trash pile, and just really, some of them were really heartbreaking stories. And so, again, like, we just were like, wow, let's pray for these kids. So Sean and I started praying for them. We started sponsoring two of the kids. And yeah, so that was kind of like happening. And we were reading it and, you know, getting updates from Margo and Rachel. And then Sean was like, yeah, I'd love to go and see what we can do and stuff like that. So I was pregnant at the time.
Was it already called Ebenezer Grace by this time?
Yeah.
Which is not just the most...
I love that.
Yeah, Ebenezer Grace.
Name. Hitherto, the Lord has helped us, Ebenezer and Grace.
Yes.
This is the power.
Yeah.
All right, sorry. Oof. Just had to...
There's some videos out there you can watch about... Mm-hmm. More about the children's
and home. Also, we will add in the show notes those links.
Yeah, so I would love to put those links in there.
Please.
Yep,
please.
You can watch those videos. And
so off you went to Ethiopia.
Yeah, so Sean did. And I was stayed back because I was pregnant.
Right.
I was like 7 months pregnant. But I knew with Sean going, like,
this could be it.
You know, and so, you know, sometimes God has to take us to go and see it. And I think that's what he had to do with Sean. Mm-hmm. Like, Sean had to go and he saw it and he just... fell in love with the kids and saw the needs and was, you know, he came back and was like kind of worried, like, how am I going to talk to Megan about this? Like, is she going to be up for this? But God was working in my heart too. Like, we have both operated very much like, if God speaks to you, he's going to speak to me.
That's
like,
right.
We're not it's not one dragging the other to another place. And we'll wait until that happens. And so we've kind of always been led that way. And so when he came back and just told me all that God was doing and the kids' stories and all of that, and I was like, yeah, I think this is it. I think this is where we're supposed to go. So I gave birth to Sonia in Hungary in September, and then we finished out our semester. Went back to the States at Christmas time so we could get our paperwork. And this was going to be a very different missions experience, you know, moving to Africa, having to raise more support, having to have a visa and all these things that we didn't necessarily have to deal with in Hungary. But was like, OK, yeah, this is the mission field aspect of it. So we moved there in May of 2013.
Wow. So. Now, when you moved there, did you move onto the grounds of Ebenezer Grace? Or?
Well, at the time, the home that is now Ebenezer Grace Children's Homes was Argo and Rachel's first home. They rented it, and it's a really big house, and they rented it with that purpose. So once, you know, when Sean went there, there was around 13 kids. They had moved, by that time, Argo and Rachel moved out to their own house, had a big yard, big compound. And when we moved there, there was about 26 kids. By the time we had left in 2019, there were over 100 kids that are in the care of, you know. so no, Ebenezer had its own home. Argo and Rachel had their own home. And then we had our own home, but all within walking distance. So our town we lived in, it was a city called Owassa. It's about 5 hours driving south of the capital. But it's, I mean, a couple hundred thousand people city on a lake, really beautiful.
And, you know, if you talk to Megan about coffee, she's going to tell you it comes from Ethiopia.
Yep. Totally.
There's is the absolute best, and they roast the beans. So we're not going to get you started there.
I know.
You it avoid that. But, you know, just how the Lord gave you such a heart, and you love the food, you love the people.
Yes.
Just how it was not, for you, it wasn't this harsh adjustment. Right. It was just, this is it.
You know what I just love about your story is that we did several episodes on Lillian Trasher and the children's orphanage that she ran for decades in Egypt. And so what was that, 120 years ago that started, or maybe 80 years ago?
Yeah.
But, you know, Lillian's in heaven. But here you are, contemporary, doing this, and that the need is still there.
Yeah.
But the way God prepares you and the gentleness of the way that he leads his children to do what he created them to do. And there's such joy and fulfillment in that. If you had just come on in first episode, you'd say, well, yep, we lived in Egypt and we, you know, helped with an orphanage.
Ethiopia, right.
Yeah.
I mean, sorry, Ethiopia. I'm thinking of Lillian. But it would just seem, so why would you do that?
Yeah.
And yet, all the steps, and that's why we needed to take the time to weave the story to show, because that helps us when we look at what the Lord is doing in our lives to pay attention to those things. He's at work.
The prompts. Okay. Now, I want to bring this up because Argo and Rachel, they had kind of, what do I want to say? I don't want to say philosophy because that sounds like too almost secular, but kind of a vision from the Lord of how this orphanage was to be, and it's unique.
Yep.
So tell us a little bit about Ebenezer Grace.
So, you know, the whole philosophy, like you would say, the whole heart behind it is a family. Like, you know, they call, the kids call Argo and Rachel mommy and daddy. Sean and I felt like aunt and uncle. Very family orientated. So they had five kids of their own, Argo and Rachel. But as the kids came in, we have mamas. Those are the caretakers. So legally, you know, with the country and the rules, we had to have caretakers and cooks and cleaners and people who did security and all the things. But they were called mamas. And yeah. So
you had two children already, but I know you have more than two children.
Okay.
Tell us what happened.
This is the part where I'm going to cry.
Okay.
I've got my Kleenex ready.
Yeah. All right.
So, yes.
Yeah. So our daughter,
Mia.
Yeah. She was the first baby who came abandoned after we moved there. So we moved in May and she had come, in June, a few weeks after. And the police brought her to Argo and Rachel's house and we were like, okay, that's what happened. So in Ethiopia, it's not like people can just, I'm going to drop my kids off with you, or, you know, there's processes. So if someone finds a baby, they call the police and the police call Argo and say, hey, can you take this baby? So that's kind of how it happened. And so, I have pictures of Sean holding her when she was a little baby. So we'd always felt a special connection to her. You know, when we moved there, we didn't know if we were going to adopt or be able to, or what that was going to look like, you know, but she had come. And then 9 months later, our son arrived at Ebenezer, and Colin, who works here, he was visiting us at the time. So he has this all in video of Zeke coming in, and I'm so thankful for that too. But
so what prompted the decision to adopt these two?
Yeah.
Because, again, you said there's like 100 kids.
Yeah, yeah.
But these two.
Yeah, so not every child at the children's home is adoptable. Some of them have family members who just, they're, for some reason, their families can't take care of them. So they do the proper channels. They go to the government and they say, we cannot, you know, provide for this child. Is there some place where we can take them? Some are abandoned. You know, some get left in hospitals and, you know, parents leave, and we don't know the reasons why, but so we had seen other missionary families in our city adopt, be able to adopt. Some were American, some were Canadian. And so they said, yeah, this is how you can do it. You know, you wait till you have residency, and then by that time you should be able to adopt legally in the country. And so when our time was ready, we were like, okay, yeah, like we want to adopt. We want to adopt a boy and a girl. They had to be younger than our kids. Mm-hmm. And they had to have no living relatives known at all. Even the orphanage, they are legally supposed to go and, you know,
research.
Yeah, research. See if there was any family members that would claim this child. Mm-hmm. Like, they have to do their due diligence in trying to find a family member. But our kids had no living relatives. And so, with Mia, it was like obvious. Like, yeah, like we'd love to adopt her. And then with Zeke, I think, again, we were, Colin was there. And my kids were always like really drawn to Zeke when we'd go to the orphanage. He's a fun guy. I have so many pictures of them, you know.
Mia is not only beautiful, but she is the most loving girl. I mean, she, and it doesn't matter if you're adults or an adult or younger, she gives you a hug and she makes you feel so special. She has just this ability.
Yeah.
And she doesn't meet a stranger. And I just, Mia, I can see, like, she's a heart stealer. And then there's Zeke, who's full of energy, but he's not unrestrained energy. He's not like the nerve-wracking energy. He's just got that very channeled energy and that joy. They both radiate such joy. I mean, these are like two of my favorite individuals. Yeah, I love the whole family.
Clearly.
But these two.
And which
two,
one was in your Sunday school class?
Zeke.
Okay.
Zeke. And, oh, I mean, you know, I would come up with, like, we're going to play this game. He'd be like, oh. And then he'd be like, the most enthusiastic player. And then, you know, he is just you just realize God's placement, that he saw Mia abandoned and he saw Zeke abandoned.
Yes.
And he said, I'm going to put them in a home where they are so loved. And then, you know, it's such a privilege to have me and Zeke at our church, that we get to love them as a big family. Yeah. And then I want to say this, their grandmothers on both sides are like very protective, very adoring.
Crazy.
You wouldn't
them.
Even know there's a difference. There just isn't.
Yeah.
They are all the Havilars and they are darling. So getting back to your service there.
So did you get to select Zeke's name? And this was the inspiration from Ezekiel?
His name,
that
given
confirmation.
Name, I know, at the orphanage was the Ethiopian version of Ezekiel. Mia's given name was Sarah. But we had a Sonia, so we wanted to change their name. So we gave Zeke the English version, but his middle name means joy in Amharic. So we kept Amharic as the Ethiopian language. Mm. So we kept, they both have an Ethiopian middle name that we wanted to keep, because Jude and Sonia have family middle names. But like what we're saying, like Zeke and Mia, like their first home and their first family was Ebenezer. Like, it wasn't an institution. It wasn't, they didn't have this horrible, abusive, neglectful upbringing. Like, no, they were cared for. They were in a family. And so we always want to honor Ebenezer and what they, what they were able to give our kids, like a home and love and all of those things, you know?
Such a picture of what God does when he brings us into
his family. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was important to, like, again, like, honor that, like, Ebenezer Grace was your first home. Yes. And they were your first family. And the kids at the children's home, they were your first brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. Like,
And I think maybe that has to do with why they're both socially so adept and so friendly and so kind, because they had this environment of love. But also that they're special because they are Ethiopian. That is part of their heritage, too. And that needs to be brought out and appreciated and loved. And that's part of it, too. And you love that culture.
We love it.
Don't talk about coffee. She loves that culture.
But that you were just there till 2019.
Yeah. So we moved in 2013. Our adoption went through in 2018.
Okay.
The adoption process is a testimony in and of itself. Mm-hmm. Like, it was one of the hardest experiences of our lives, for sure, trying to adopt these kids. And I think having lived in that environment and working with kids and vulnerable kids, it's like, man, you really see the enemy has such a hold around the globe of kids and all of that. So yeah, we knew it was going to be a fight, and it truly was. Like, it was a battle to get these kids, to bring them into our home. And but the Lord did it. We saw the Lord change hearts and open doors, and man kept shutting doors for us. Like, nope, like telling us, like, nope, you can't adopt them. Nope, you need this. And, you know, all the things that we needed. But we felt like man was closing those doors. God wasn't closing those
doors. I love
that.
I love that. So, yes. Just the perseverance, though. Yeah. And that shows so much love to Zeke and Mia. Like, you were worth fighting for. You were worth persevering for.
Yep, exactly. So, yeah. And we knew after we adopted them in 2018 that in 2 years, we'd have to apply for their American citizenship. And so that would result in us needing to come back to America. So, yep, we came back in 2019, right before COVID. Mm-hmm. We didn't know that that was going to happen, but the Lord, he worked it out. We actually wanted to go back and be in Ethiopia until May of 2020.
But you came to California.
We came to visit.
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they ended up in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And this is the Lord again. One of her roommates was Grace Warholic. Grace and her husband, Tim, did they meet at the Bible
they
college?
They went to Hungary too. Yep. They went to Croatia. They were missionaries in Croatia and planted a church and then moved to Las Vegas.
Yes.
And so.
And had 5 children in Croatia. Yeah. We've got to get Grace on this program.
Yeah, you should.
That's another story.
What were they doing in Las Vegas?
He's from there. So they handed their church over to a Croatian and moved to Las Vegas. And so when we were like needing to move back and stay to do the immigration, they were one of our supporting churches, Tim and Grace. And so we just kind of felt like, yeah, there's an open door for us to go serve with them. So that's where we went when we came back to the States.
How long was that?
That was 2 years. And then we moved here.
How was the adjustment for the kids? Because, you know, we hear about second culture children, which all yours are now.
Yes, they all are. I love studying about all of that. I love it so much. But I think one thing I learned in studying that was, and I had heard this from other missionaries, people like Pam Markey too, like, if the kids have safety in the home, like mom and dad, like if you're stable, if they find their home in you, then it doesn't matter wherever you go. Then they're going to have their safety and security in you. And so, Sean and I have really, tried to just manifest that in our home, that like we're your safety, like no matter where you go, like you're going to be safe because you're with mom and dad. And
So you're in Las Vegas. And the need comes up at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. John Chubeck, because we have a really huge emphasis on missionaries here at this church. And we had it when we were at Calvary Chapel Vista. It's just once you go on the mission field, you just get this world vision, like people need to be safe. You know that from working with Brother Andrew Robin. And so John Chubeck, who is our missions pastor and served in the Ukraine, he just needed help. And so as they prayed, Sean and Megan's name came up, and it was almost like we almost held our breath. It was too good to even consider.
Yeah. We like missions is, it's like when God flipped that switch on, he's not turning it off. Like it's on in me, you know, and it's on in my family. Like we are very globally diverse.
Yes.
Family, like missions, God's heart, the nations, that's our heart. And so, when an opportunity came for us to be in missions again, it was like, yes, like no brainer. Like this is, and the fact that we know so many of the missionaries here through Calvary Costa Mesa from Hungary and all over the world, like they're just our friends. So we just feel so blessed that we could be in a position to love and support our friends around the world.
And it's so beneficial too, because I think of, again, you got the heart from your mission, your pastor, who was your youth pastor. Sean was once at the invite at the Bible college there, helping students come over and get a taste for the mission field. And that's really something that we want the youth to see, because Robin, you and I both know it is transformative when you go on a missions trip. I don't know anyone who returns from a mission trip the same. I want to thank you, Megan, for coming in, telling us a little bit of your story. I hope it makes people thirsty so you want to write a book, because there is so much more to that adoption story, and just it's a God story. So thank you, our listeners, for joining us, and you can always meet Megan at Calvary.
Thank you for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn. For more information on Cheryl, visit CherylBroderson.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. For more information on Robin, visit RobinGunn.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. Join us each week for a lively conversation as we explore the lives of well-known and not-so-well-known historical and contemporary Christian women. If you think there is a woman worth knowing, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at wwk@cccm.com. We hope you've enjoyed today's episode. Make sure you rate us on your podcast app, subscribe, and share it with a friend. Thank you again for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn. Women Worth Knowing is a production of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa.